I want to look in Luke tonight to start with. I want to look in Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter is where I want to start. Again, I desire your prayers. The Lord will have mercy on us. Now then, the Lord made reference or called people outright different things. Not a whole lot of times, but there's times, 23rd chapter of Matthew, he called them hypocrites. He called them a generation of vipers and serpents. When he was dealing with Peter, when Peter come out of the boat, walking on the water, he began to sink. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Herod, I believe it was, he referred to him, said, "Call that man a fox. Go tell that fox." Another time he called them blind guides. And another time he said, "You're full of dead man's bones." Now that's pretty serious for Jesus to tell you these kind of things. But there is something else that he said that I really think probably goes beyond. And in one place he said, "Thou fool." Now one minister I have heard said that he said, when the Lord calls you a fool, you're a fool. Now what is a fool? In Scripture, fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person. One who gets contrary, one who gets contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own incentives, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. Foolishness, which that will be brought into the message a few times tonight, means folly, want of understanding, foolish practice, want of wisdom or good judgment. In a scriptural sense, it's absurdity and folly. Absurdity is a quality of being inconsistent with obvious truth, reason, or sound judgment. Want of judgment applied to men. Or want of priority applied to things. Perverse. We'll use the word perverse in one spot tonight. It means literally turned aside. Hence distorted from the right. Also means stubborn. Means overturned. Maketh to fail. Now, in the 12th chapter here, in the 20th verse, I just want one verse of this right now. 12 and 20 of Luke. He makes a statement up here. This is talking about the rich man, or a man, certain rich man, brought forth plenty and so forth. And he had laid everything up, getting everything in place, and he said to my soul, "Soul, thou hast much good laid aside for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said unto him, "Thou fool." God said unto him, "Thou fool." Oh, tonight, folks, God is God. And the most foolish thing that you and I can do in all the world is not prepare. Not to put in position ourselves with God to be able to make heaven our home. But to go on a foolish way. I believe one time Brother Philip said that Brother Stanley, they were referring to somebody, and he said, "He's going up Fool's Hill." Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's thousands of people that's going up Fool's Hill. There's thousands of people that's going down the fool's way. There's thousands of people tonight that is not doing the right thing. They're foolish. They are a fool for the simple fact that they're going the way opposite that God wants them to go. And God sent his son, his only begotten son, and he sent him, and Jesus came, and they set up a plan of salvation whereby men could be blessed, whereby men could be saved and redeemed, washed in the blood. And listen tonight, folks, if you and I cross that plan, if we reject that plan, if we tell Jesus, "I don't want to have anything to do with you, I want my own way," that's a foolish thing for you and I to do tonight. It is the most foolish thing we can do.
There are multitudes of people doing that tonight. And so consequently, Lord, help you and I. My burden tonight, if you and I to see that if we do anything but the right thing, it's fool and foolish. And it's going to get us into a lot of trouble down the line. So consequently, the wise thing is to incorporate. The wise thing is to entreat. The wise thing is to repent. The wise thing is to forsake and do everything we can to have our souls ready to meet an almighty God, because we're dealing with God here. If I called you a fool, that's one thing. But if God calls you a fool, you are a fool, and I'd be a fool if he calls us a fool, because we're doing exactly opposite to what he said in his Bible, what he set in place for you and I to do, to be blessed and redeemed and washed and have happy and glory and enjoyment. And consequently, you and I'd be a fool to cross that line. Romans, the first chapter. Romans 1 and 20. Maybe I can hold this to not too awful long tonight. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now this is talking about the philosophers, the Gentiles, the people that had a lot of so-called wisdom back at that time. And it said here that because that when they knew God, they knew him in the fact that there was somebody out there. It's not that they knew him on a personal relationship as much as they knew he existed. But they didn't go further than that. Listen tonight, God wants us to dig. God wants us to look into the Word of God. He wants us to know there's a God tonight. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with God tonight. Some people just kind of want to push him aside. But listen, folks, that's what these people did. They knew there was a God, and they talked about him, they wrote about him, and so forth, but they didn't go the extra step. They could have. They could have gotten involved. They could have been blessed, but they didn't do that. And consequently, he said, and their foolish heart was darkened. This world has millions of people that has a foolish heart that is darkened tonight. Darkened. That's the reason the world's in the mess it's in tonight. They flat don't know right from wrong. This country has gone down a absolute horrible situation, and accepting things that's clearly defined in the scripture as sin and corruption. It's even got into many of the churches. They're accepting the homosexuality question, the gay marriage, and so forth. It doesn't seem to matter. But listen, folks, tonight, the reason they're doing it is their foolish heart is darkened. They can't know right from wrong because they're not in the right place to know right from wrong. So consequently, they're going the wrong way. The politicians, many of them, the governors, the senators, the congressmen. I'm not saying none of them is right. I'm not saying none of them has good sense or good morals. But I'm saying many of them are not what they ought to be. That's the reason our country, that's the reason our world is in the shape that it's in tonight. For the simple reason they're doing the things totally opposite to what they ought to be doing. I've watched it, I've listened to it, I've read it, and I thought, that's not the thing you ought to do. You ought to be doing this. This is what the scripture says. Instead, they're doing just totally backwards to what they ought to be doing. Oh, tonight, our hearts can become darkened. Our foolish heart, if we follow the wrong thing, if we go the wrong direction, if we do like they did. Listen, we have more education and more common sense, so to speak, of the way they look at it. Not the way I'm looking at it, the way they look at it. We're a very educated people. Listen, it's not the educated people that's going to heaven. It's those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's those that are saved and redeemed, those that have a relationship with Christ, those that know for sure, like we heard last night, that's connected into the vine, praise God, that is connected with Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that's going to go to heaven. But there, most people are not connected in, and most of them are doing exactly opposite to what they ought to be doing because their foolish heart is darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The more we go from God, the more foolish we become. The more we decide this is the right way when it's the wrong way makes us even more of a fool in the eyes of God. And tonight, there are multitudes of people that are doing that. Is our heart darkened tonight? Is your heart a heart of light? Or is it a heart that is darkened by sin, by education, by things that are hindering you? Listen, the Lord wants to shine in light. He wants to get you turned the right direction. He wants to redeem and wash you in every way. But most people are doing everything but that. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, first verse. Proverbs 19 and 1, please. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity, and he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his sin, with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. Said the foolishness of man perverteth. The folly of man perverteth. All right, perverse, like I said, is literally turned aside, hence distorted from the right. It's a way of stubbornness. It means to be overturned or maketh to fail. And what this scripture has said is the foolishness of man is putting him out of the right way into the wrong way, and then his heart fretteth. In other words, all the things that God allows to come to try to wake man up, then the man, he don't like that, and he frets about it, and he comes against God. Instead of accepting it and saying, I need help, I need God, he's charging God with what's happening to him, and God's trying to get him on the right way. Foolishness. Listen, folks, tonight, it's foolish. It's foolish to go down the broad way. It's foolish to live in sin. It's foolish to live in double marriage. It is foolish to be involved in all of these different clubs and stuff. There's sports world by the multitude. I talked about the little lady the other night that all she could think about was OU women's basketball. Listen, folks, there's a lot better things to think about than stuff like that. Amen. There's a lot better things to think about. And that's what our world is absorbing. That's what our world is going after. That's what our world is reaching after, is the things of the world. Why, it's fun. Listen, I used to work at a service station, used to have a service station on I-35, Northeast 50th, and I-35 is where I was for, I don't know, about 3.5 years. I worked out there from 1968 through 1976, out there in that area. Listen, I had numbers of people that would come through there. That would drive for many miles to go see a ball game, a football, the Rose Bowl or the Super Bowl or whatever. But listen, if I told somebody I was going to drive to Myrtle for a weekend, they thought I was crazy. But oh no, they could do what they wanted to and look real good. Listen, folks, I'd rather you and I go to an all-day meeting and singing and rejoicing and getting blessed in your soul than to go all the way to California for a football game or a basketball game. Whatever it might be. Oh, tonight, it's foolish to follow the things of the world. The world is not your friend. The world is not going to get you to heaven. The world is not going to. It'll help you in some ways, yeah. But the bottom line is, the best thing to do is get saved and redeemed and washed in the blood and get going with Jesus. And that's the greatest thing you can do, because anything other than that is foolishness in the eyes of God. All right, let's go to Matthew, about the 7th chapter. Matthew 7 tonight. Talk about the house.
One built on the sand, one built on the rock. 7 and 24, the good book of Matthew, please. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, but it founded upon a rock. Now they said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now then, Jesus has just delivered the Sermon on the Mount. He's laid out life. If I remember right, Brother Salmon said, if you could only read about 3 chapters in the whole New Testament, like 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, you could incorporate and live to those, you could get to heaven off of that. Well, that's pretty well about right. This is the greatest sermon that has ever been preached. If we would live to that, it would be a great blessing to you and everybody around you. And then he gets down here and it said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And then he said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Tonight, it's not only hearing them. You and I have heard a lot of things, but we got to do them. It's doing them that is going to be the blessing. It's doing them, responding to them, living them, incorporating them into our life, living a type of life that's a blessing, bless God. Listen tonight, it's doing them. It's what this whole thing is founded on right here. It's doing these sayings. He put them out there. You can read them. You can talk about them. But if you don't do them, they ain't going to do you a lot of good. It said there, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Blessed are they that are merciful. And blessed, I can't quote them all. I used to be able to quote all of them. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Oh, we take these right here. And we incorporate them and work with them. Listen, folks, you and those around you is going to be blessed by the God and by the church and by each one of us working together. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him. I liken him to a man that built his house, to a wise man, excuse me, a wise man which built his house upon a rock. I don't know that I know anybody out there really that doesn't want to be considered a wise man. People look up to people of wisdom. And he said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now, he just didn't build it anywhere, but he built it upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. The experience of salvation of you and I taking what Jesus is saying, incorporating them, doing them, living by them, doing everything we can do to be everything Christ wants us to be, and building and establishing and settling our house on something that will take us all the way through to the end, praise God. This is not just any type of salvation. Listen, folks, the storms are going to come. The winds are going to blow. The hurricanes are going to come. The arrows are going to be shot. There's going to be things coming. And if you and I are not built in the right place at the right time, listen, folks, we're going to be in trouble sometime. It'll blow us away. How many of you ever been around a hurricane? Well, it's tornado country. Well, I've been in both of them. Had a tornado come by about a mile and a quarter from my house one time. I had a hurricane about, I don't know, 70, 80 miles from me one time, maybe. Well, maybe a little further than that because
I don't remember how many miles it was out in the ocean. But it raking Charleston pretty good. So consequently, these things are going to come in a spiritual sense. We're not just going to get saved and never have trials and tribulations and battles. We need to get things settled. We need to build upon the rock. And then it said, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Again, Jesus put these in place for mankind to have the right life. Shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Now then, when I went to South Carolina in 1998 in August, began to read the papers and study something about where I was at. They had alligators on the down there within a few miles. As a matter of fact, they had alligators within about 6 miles of my house, and I didn't even know had any alligators anywhere. Found out that when the hurricanes come, Brother Frankie would know this, when the hurricanes come and destroy, they destroy those beaches. Those waves come in. When Floyd was coming up, the one I was referring to, the only time I ever boarded my house up when I was out there was when Floyd come through. Floyd at one time had about 150 plus mile an hour wind. The waves in the Atlantic Ocean were 40 foot tall. Well, when the storm surges, when they come ashore, when those storm surges hit those beaches, and the erosion, and it just takes it right back out in the ocean. I didn't realize all of that to the extent I do now. And got to reading that the counties, the state, the federal government, whatever, they've got to come in there and rebuild them beaches, and it cost them millions and millions of dollars to do that. Well, if a storm can do that kind of trouble, all right, let's go a little deeper. I can't remember now which one it was. But anyway, there was one hurricane that hit down there in, Mississippi, part of Louisiana there. It was the one, maybe it was Andrew that hit Florida and then went across, all the way across Florida and went up in and went that away. Anyway, it hit the coast there. And it come in, and they said the storm surge was 32 foot high. They said it hit a bank that was sitting right out there on the edge of the ocean. And they said there was nothing left but the foundation and the vault. Took everything out. All house after house was wiped out and destroyed. Do we want to build in a position that we would be likely to lose everything we've got? You want to build spiritually on something that is solid. You want to build spiritually on something that will carry you through. You want to build on something that cannot be wiped out, damaged, or torn up. Listen, folks, the sands will go under. Listen, there's lots of people that have an actual testimony to salvation that don't have it. There is people that have joined the church and written out, and I'm a member of this body. Listen, Jesus Christ said you must be born again. If you're going to see heaven, if you're going to have power, if you're going to live for God, you must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. Oh, tonight, there's a lot of people that's got a lot of things that is sand. It's not solid. It's not viable during a storm. The storms will tear it up. It'll wash it away. It'll destroy it. So consequently, he said, build on the rock. What are we built on tonight? Do you know tonight for an absolute fact that you're saved and washed in the blood? Do you know you're hooked into that vine? Do you know for sure that you really have what you're supposed to have? It's foolish not to. It's foolish in the eyes of God for you and I to not do what we ought to do. To just go along. There is multitudes of people that thought they had something that would take them to heaven. And they got down to the time of death and they found out that ain't what they had. They found out they didn't have what they thought they had. They had built on the sand. They had built in a position when the time come. They found out they didn't have salvation at all. One person cried out, "I'm a week too late." One person cried out and cried out, "I'm a week too late. I'm a week too late." God had dealt with her and dealt with her and dealt with her. And she had put it off and put it off. I think first time she said, "In a year I'll take care of the matters of my soul." Then she said, "Well, in so many months." And then she got it on down. "Well, in a week I'll take care of the matters of my soul." And it got down then, she got down to a place where she was fixed to enter eternity. And she saw that she should have done something a week before, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before. And now then she was facing eternity and she didn't have anything. Foolish to do that. It's foolish tonight for you to walk out of this building, if God's dealing with you, to walk out of here and not get what you ought to get. It's foolish. It is absolutely in the eyes of God. Now, I don't want to just call you a fool. I'm referring to the way God looks at this by the scripture. It is absolutely foolish for you and I to turn God down. It's absolutely foolish when we have a chance to do what we need to do, to put it off and to put it away and to sweep it out of the rug or put it under the bed or whatever you want to call it. It's foolish to do that because, folks, we don't know how much time we've got left. She cried, "I'm a week too late. I'm a week too late." And she went out into eternity that way. Oh, tonight, if you was to die tonight, where would you go? If you was to die tonight, what would happen? All right, let's go to Matthew 25. First verse, Matthew 25 and 1. The 10 virgins. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven liken unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And it said, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and they slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" 50% virgins, clean, pure, saved. But 50% of them was foolish. They didn't do what they need to do to be ready when the bridegroom came. One of the most beautiful things in the whole anatomy of man, I ain't saying that quite right, the whole deal of mankind, is when there's a wedding. It's a wedding of a purity, of cleanliness, of holiness, so to speak. And that bride comes in through the door in her beautiful white dress. The groom is down here waiting, looking. He's longing to be married to her. He's longing to take her and live life with her. And here she comes. It's one of the most beautiful pictures. It's also a beautiful picture of Christ and his people. Those that are washed. Those that are pure. Listen, folks, one of these days we're going to meet the bridegroom. We're going to meet him. We're going to deal with him one of these days. And it said even a blemish. Listen, folks, we've got to have it all taken care of, right down to the blemishes, so to speak. It's all got to be pure and perfect. When we march out to meet him, when we see him, when we deal with him, we've got to be perfect or we're not going to get in where we think we're going to. Foolish. Five were wise and five were foolish. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, but while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. We're in a slumbering, sleeping time. We're getting close to midnight, though, folks. And there was a cry made. And those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise. They didn't do what they ought to do. Now, some people want to say this is connected in with the Holy Spirit. I could say it would be. They had professions. They were saved, but they didn't go on and do what they needed to do. They turned it down. Listen, folks, tonight the greatest second step you can make in all your experiences is the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to have that if we're going to do, go, and be what God would have us to be. There's a lot of people tonight that don't want to make that second step, that don't want to go all the way, that don't want to turn their life over to Christ and consecrate and dedicate and say, Lord, here, take me and fill me and use me in whatever capacity you want. They don't want to do that. Listen, the foolish did not go on and do what they need to do. They didn't have the oil. They didn't have a full supply. And while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, listen, folks, you need to be sure you're full tonight. You need to be sure you have everything Christ wants you to have. Because if we don't, we're liable to find ourselves just like the foolish. Give us of our oil. Our lamps are gone out. The wise answer is saying, not so. Listen, folks, I don't have enough for you and you don't have enough for me. It's an individual life. It's an individual experience. So consequently, you better have what you better have. I better have what I better have. Give us of your oil. We want your oil. Our lamps are gone out. We're in trouble. The bridegroom, the cry's been made. Here's coming the bridegroom. And we don't have what we ought to have. And he said there, said, be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They come back saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Lord, help us tonight to not be a foolish virgin. Help us tonight to go on and get everything God got for us. The wise men built his house upon the rock. He done exactly what he was supposed to do. Listen tonight, if you're going to build a house, you want a good foundation. You want a good everything. There was a man that was building a home. So he took and he drew up a plan himself and he took it to an architect. And he laid it out there. And the architect said, all right, let me study it, look at it, and come back and so on, we'll discuss this. So the architect went over what he had drawn and checked it all out, and man come back and they were talking to him, and he said, well, what about my footing? What about my foundation? What about all that? He said, you don't have to worry. You've got one strong enough here to take care of a 10-story building. He wanted to be sure. Listen, folks, these foolish virgins did not get what they ought to have to do what they need to do. And when the bridegroom came, is he going to be here tonight? Is he going to be here tomorrow? When's he going to come? You don't know, and I don't either. There's some of us here will be here when the judgment comes. There may be some, maybe not any of us. But you may, the main thing is, you may go out before I do, and I may go out before you do. And consequently, we need to be sure tonight
We don't need to be foolish. We don't need to be a fool. We need to be sure that we're having what God wants us to have. All right, let's go to Galatians 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all these nations be blessed. Oh, foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? Who has got you off of where you ought to be? Lord, help us tonight. Have any of us moved off of what we know is right? Has anybody worked with you and got you bewitched, deceived, moved out of the way, what you ought to be? We need to check by the Bible, by the Spirit, to be sure we're where God would have us to be. I really don't think that has happened, but you never know. There's people that do get bewitched, do get deceived, do get out of the place that they once was, not believing what they once believed, the right doctrine. All right, let's go back to Luke 12. Let's begin to wrap it up. Luke 12 and 13. And one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who have made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is it that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Ecclesiastes 7 and 17. And connecting in with that, Ecclesiastes 7 and 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? There is a multitude of people tonight, down through the years, that has been killed by foolishness. They done something that they shouldn't have done. Maybe at one time they wouldn't do it. But maybe somebody come along and said, Well, let's do this, let's do that. And got them to doing something, and that caused them to be killed. That caused them to be ushered out into eternity because of foolishness. There is literally thousands upon thousands of people tonight that have died that way down through the years. Racing cars when they shouldn't have raced. Playing with guns when they should have played with guns. Various things, all kind of things. You can name a list of them. I don't have anything written down tonight.
There's a number of things that was foolishness for them to do. Young people tonight, be very careful what you do. My poor daughters have said, Daddy, you guys are too cautious. Well, I got to checking into it. I found out those of us as older, when we had children, we were just naturally cautious, more cautious than the younger ones that was having children. Well, my girls are still both alive in their late 20s, thank the Lord. But they have done some things that they probably shouldn't have done. Foolish things, I would say. But they've been spared by the mercy of God. But tonight, he said that this rich man, his ground brought forth plenty. He thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Well, I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's not wrong to make money. If it's handled right, it's not wrong to be rich. God has used rich people all down through the years if they do it right. It's not wrong to have a nice home. It's not wrong to have nice cars. But the whole bottom line of this rich man is this, is he wasn't rich toward God. He was rich toward himself. He had it all made in his estimation. But the bottom line is, it said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He didn't lay up treasure in heaven. He didn't put things like they ought to be. And consequently, the Lord said, thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. There's a lot of rich men like this tonight. Maybe rich women too. Tonight, we want to be rich toward God. We want to have what God wants us to have. We want to be where God wants us to be. All right, let's wrap it up. 26 and 10 of Proverbs, and I'll be through. 26 and 10 of Proverbs. He said, the great God that formeth all things, both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. The great God. God knows every fool. He knows every foolish act. He knows where you and I stand tonight. We're not getting away with anything. He said, the great God that formeth all things both rewardeth the fool. If we're doing foolish things tonight, what kind of reward are we going to get? What did the rich man get? What did the five foolish virgins get? Where are we at tonight? Would the Lord say that we're foolish? Would he say that we're a fool? What would reward would we get tonight? I think the best thing for you and I to do is to get everything just exactly where we need it to be with God so that he'll say, well done. Come, blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, you blessed. He said to them on the left hand, said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I want to hear the one, but I sure don't want to hear the other. Let's stand. Let's have a number. Appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight.